The Guardian. Hey everybody, welcome to Chips with Everything. This is Lee Alexander. A couple weeks ago, we did an episode that got a lot of attention from some of you. We played with JukeDeck, the self-styled AI composer that aims to help people without any musical knack generate their own unique songs. The response to this idea that an AI can compose was swift and serious. One of my friends who's a musician even said it was the death of art or something like that. But if you listen to the episode, JukeDeck isn't actually trying to play any concerts or speak on a spiritual level to anyone. It's actually just a specific case solution for, let's say, you're an advertiser or a YouTuber. You need a song you own the rights to, but you don't know how to write one. And that's what it's for. There's this great fear that when we learn how to do something with tech, we're somehow destroying or devaluing human innovation, when a lot of the time, the tech is just part of that innovation, can become part of any artist's expressive toolkit. Tech can be just another instrument, and this week we're meeting a couple different creators who seem to see it that way. Matthew Olden is a computer artist. He uses the programs he makes for music and visuals and other elements of his own performances. He records under the name I Am the Mighty Jungulator, and the tech he uses is called MaxMSP.
It's like a big open toolbox, and it's just all those ideas that I've always wanted to do. Controlling sounds, sounds with triggers, controlling video and stuff. That all came into focus, and it just sort of gave me a palette where I could start working from.
I Am the Mighty Jungulator is also the name of one of Matthew's programs, one he employs to generate and arrange the samples he uses in his music.
It's an algorithmic drum composer, sample composer. So I made a little program where you put drum beats in, and it cut up the drum beat into 16, 32, 8, 4 different segments, and then it rearranged it for you automatically. So you could just knock out jungle drum beats really, really fast. And it sort of wasn't the sort of technology that you had at the time. You had sound programs like Lisa, which allowed you to do live sampling and manipulate live sounds, but that's very much ambient. It wasn't sort of going towards the beat orientated stuff that I was. So yeah, my first program really was on my Jungulator, which started to algorithmically cut up drums. And a lot of the other stuff that I've got into has kind of been off the back of that, because once you've written one program, you can sort of rearrange the code in it and get it to do different things. So for instance, you could get it to go through lists of words and cut up the words and rearrange the words using the very similar sort of technique.
He's worked with artists like Johnny Easterby and other folks inspired by the development of digital instruments. Easterby and Matthew Olden worked together on a video piece called Fluxscape 2.
Which was in Tromsø in Norway, and it was a massive pyramid with targets on it. You threw snowballs at it, and then you got this massive explosion-type noise and a video projected on the target. So I started working with Johnny on that, and then other people I got to know through Johnny, and they were making similar sort of technological pieces, but without a computer controlling them. I would come in and make a computer-controlled system. I got into making instruments for people, digital instruments. That encouraged me to make music more.
So rather than seeing algorithms as just some means to an end when it comes to composing, they're simply opening up surprising new avenues of infinite possibility. This combination of music and tech has let him do some really interesting things. For example, with a recent Arts Council grant, Matthew and team made a self-generating music machine that finds sounds and tracks online, kind of recombines them, and then streams these custom audio-visual pieces on YouTube.
But the trouble with that is now there's loads of algorithms out there that look at visual streams. They kind of understand where you got that clip from. So if it's a company and that, you might get a solicitor's letter. So my videos keep on getting taken down because there's algorithms that exist that look for content that's been pilfered from YouTube, and then their algorithms have been sending my algorithms cease and desist letters and to stop my algorithms downloading their videos and then re-uploading them to YouTube in a different form. So it's got, I kind of like it because there's absolutely no human interaction when all this litigation is sort of carrying on without any human involvement.
Pretty soon we're going to need an AI court system to handle all these inter-algorithmical disputes. Let's take a short break, and then we'll hear from our next guest, Bristol-based audiovisual artist Kathy Hind. You're listening to Chips with Everything, the digital culture show from The Guardian. This is Lee Alexander. Stay tuned. Hey there, Chips fans. We'd like to recommend another great Guardian podcast to you, the award-winning Science Weekly, which is the best place to hear the latest debates in biology, chemistry, physics, and sometimes philosophy. Recent shows explored the breakthrough Starshot initiative, using lasers to propel spherical sails to Alpha Centauri, our closest star system, over 4 light-years away. Also, are the foundations of human reasoning currently exploring a shakeup? And let's look at infant vision during the first 6 months of life. With the Guardian science team and experts from around the world, you're in for a treat. To find out more, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts or find us on your favorite podcasting app. Welcome back to Chips with Everything. I'm Lee Alexander, and we've just spoken to computer artist Matthew Olden about a couple of the fun and surprising things that happened when he combined his programming passion with his musical work. Now for our next guest.
I'm Kathy Hind, and I'm an audiovisual artist based in Bristol.
Kathy's first piece, where tech informed her audiovisual design, was called Piano Migrations. She actually worked together a bit with Matthew Olden on this one, inspired by a dismantled piano and the movements of birds. Let's let her describe it, as it's very, very cool.
I made a video of birds taking off and landing on telegraph lines, which looked very much like a musical score. So I wanted to try and use that as a musical score in various ways. And I was also fiddling around with the inside of a piano, trying to get it to play with actuators and motors and solenoids, and using a computer to sort of trigger things. When I made the video, it sort of became apparent that that would be a perfect match for the dismantled piano.
The video gets projected directly onto the piano, and then thanks to Matthew's program, movement in the video is tracked and translated into MIDI sound file information Kathy uses to trigger the motors. The sound file itself then is physically plucking the strings, if that makes sense.
So the impression is that the birds are projected directly onto the piano strings, but wherever they fly or move or flutter, then the strings get hit by the closest actuator. And I'm kind of really interested in how to sort of harness the behaviour of the natural world, things that are happening around, it's just really everyday kind of things to sort of pay attention to. So this phenomena of filming the birds on the telegraph lines and me thinking, oh, that's like a musical score, it's just the movement and behaviour of the birds that makes the music, and I've set up this kind of system so that it's possible. So I'm quite interested in composing with open forms like that. So I'm not precisely saying this is the rhythm and this is the note and this is a kind of interpretation of the behaviour of the natural world. I'm kind of setting up a system that uses technology to then kind of map one thing into another.
So even with this type of very acoustic, very naturalistic musical piece, you still have a lot of intelligent and creative technology work running in the background. She has so many other examples of this.
Well, the another thing that I use technology for is to try and create instruments, new instruments that I can use to play, either as installations or kind of just improvisation. And one thing that I really like using are the kind of vibrating motors that you get inside mobile phones. So I've used them on loads of different things, and I can sort of set them up with an Arduino and some potentiometers, some little knobs to turn, so I can speed them up and slow them down. And then I use them to kind of resonate different objects. So I've used them in bells inside my dulcitone on my piano.
You know those little kind of low-tech, tiny, ambulating toys called hex bugs? Kathy looked at some gongs, some singing bowls, and a handful of these hex bugs and saw the opportunity for something strange and amazing.
And so I was playing around with this gong that I'd hung up horizontally and put water in it. And I just took a bit of a gamble and chucked in a few hex bugs, hoping they wouldn't drown. And they started, you know, running around and resonating the gong, which was amplified. And it was just a really, really simple thing where it was just the vibrating motor in the little hex bug toy that was resonating the gong. And I just stuck little drawing pins into them, and that kind of change the sonics of when they crash into the edge of the gong. Sometimes they go into like these little group clusters, and other times they'd move around. And it was really lovely to watch them, because even though I guess I wasn't using any algorithms or things like that, I was just using the natural processes of them juddering around and randomly crashing into things and having to move and make their way out of the clusters. And I guess one of the things I'm quite interested in is trying to set up behaviours to create sounds and music. So using these little hex bugs was creating a kind of behaviour, and they interacted with each other. It reminded me of a book I was reading recently on emergent behaviour and cellular automata, which is something I'm really interested in. It kind of relates to my interest in how birds flock, particularly fascinated by starlings murmurating. They create these amazing patterns in the sky. So I know there's people who've made algorithms based on flocking, and they will look at something like each bird will compare itself to the seven nearest birds, and they would kind of say, well, move at the same speed as the birds around you, avoid collisions, move in a similar direction. Really, really simple rules. But then when you kind of do interrupt some kind of turbulence or obstacle or potential collision, you'll get a ripple effect that runs through in how these rules kind of play out. So each bird is kind of responding to its local environment, but the group behaviour becomes something much more complex, and, you know, you can almost see it as one organism, or you can see it as many parts. So it seems a bit kind of over the top to compare that to sort of some toys running around inside a gong, but I kind of like this idea that each little item has got its basic behaviour and rules, but when you actually observe them as a group, you get something much more interesting going on. And one of the things that emerged was, because there was water in the gong, all the kind of ripple effects of each hex bug interfered with each other and created these amazing patterns in the water. And also I was getting a kind of cymatic effect from the gong, so it created these really interesting sort of dynamics in the surface of the water.
Tech is giving lots of artists and musicians new ways to think about the intersection of intention with randomness and the unexpected. An algorithm might come up with a whole lot of unpredictable results, but so too does a flock of birds.
I kind of really like the idea of setting up a framework for a composition. So I've kind of controlled the framework, like with the piano. I've controlled the fact that it's piano strings. I prepared the piano. I've kind of tuned it, so I like the range of sounds it makes. But then I don't have control about the rhythm and the order of the notes that are twanged, because that's down to the behaviour of the bird. So yeah, it's a kind of balance between designing something and controlling it, but also then leaving it open-ended enough to have some kind of randomness or indeterminate behaviour based on what I'm introducing, whether it's bird flight or something else.
The term generative music was popularized by Brian Eno, who uses it to describe music that's created, at least in part, by a system and is ever-changing. Kathy Hines says some of her work falls under the umbrella of generative composition.
Yeah, so I mean, I've always been really interested in open scores, going back to kind of Fluxus and Cage and the Scratch Orchestra, this way of kind of setting up parameters for improvisation, text-based scores or graphic scores or guidelines for improvisation, where the people playing have got some kind of common ground. But then within that open score, there's room to experiment within that, so you get different results every time. And one thing that really excites me about that is one, in how it relates to improvisation and my interest in that in terms of using open scores, but also I can create a system where I've controlled certain aspects, and then I will have this random element that comes in, and then I can be surprised and interested in the result because I've not kind of programmed it specifically. So for instance, another piece that I've made called Tipping Point, which uses the flow of water and audio feedback, so the water tunes feedback in various glass vessels, that's run on a system that has various parameters that run in random orders. And so I can walk into that installation and it won't loop and I won't know what I'm going to experience. It will constantly be shifting in new ways. And when I play with that live, again, some of the elements that it comes back with, I'm not completely in control of, so I can kind of be in dialogue with it rather than completely control every single aspect of it.
Performing in live dialogue with this evolving sound, supported by technology you made yourself, inspired by nature and unpredictability, that's pretty much the opposite of the bleak, regimented future people imagine when they think of getting algorithms and AI involved in music making, isn't it? You've just got to learn more about Kathy Hind, Matthew Olden, and their great work. We'll have links for you to do that in our show notes, and thanks so much to our guest for coming on. This has been Chips with Everything, the digital culture podcast from The Guardian. If you like our show, please subscribe to us on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app, where you can check out other great Guardian shows as well. Do give us a rating too, please. It helps bring creators and stories like these to even more people. Got a unique digital culture story for us? Email guardianships@gmail.com. I'm Lee Alexander, and I make this series with my producer, Ian Chambers. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.